Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you're over there to check that out. But, you know, swing over there just because, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right. Well, what the heck is going on today, Dan? How was your weekend?
Oh, too quick. Saw Dumbo.
Yay, Dumbo. And how was it?
Oh, it was actually really good. So,
well, that's good.
I highly recommend it.
Yes, but you know, you don't see the movies anymore. It's okay. You know, we're not making you do that. So not till this baseball season. So you got a ways to go.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been an interesting weekend with fantasy wise. Both my teams are in the lead right now. One of yours is in the lead. The other one is getting crushed by Mr. Fantasy, but I had to pick up some more guys because he had about six or seven guys on the DL 10 days.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for you to co-manage your team.
I saw today that the Yankees have placed not only Giancarlo Stanton, but they also put Miguel Andujar on the – I got to get used to calling it the injury list. I'm just not used to calling it the injury list. So not a fantastic start for them after dropping 2 of 3 to the Orioles.
No, I mean, were you kind of surprised with this weekend how the team that you saw was basically sweet. You know, for instance, I didn't expect your Mariners to pretty much take 2 out of 3 against Boston.
Yeah, it was a strange start. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, mentioned already that, you know, the Orioles took 2 of 3. You know, the Cubs gave away 2 of 3 in Texas. You mentioned the Red Sox. Yeah, you know, it just seemed, I don't know, kind of odd, or I'm trying to think of the best way to. I think, you know, did Cleveland end up losing 2 of 3 to Minnesota, or did they figure out how to straighten things out there after a bit? But and obviously teams are just kind of coming out of the gate here, but. You know, like Atlanta didn't look very good getting beat up by Philadelphia in 3 games. And, you know, the Rays took 3 of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to remember who the heck they were playing. the Astros. Yeah, they took 3 of 4 from the Astros, which, you know, it's just kind of, you know, yeah, okay, here we go. And then, you know, didn't the Dodgers look like the best team in baseball with that offense? That was just nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and obviously, I mean, it's just one weekend, and, you know, you don't want to go crazy. I mean, I know there's people, you know, already pushing the panic button. I mean, Schomburg has already given up on the season, and they played 3 games. So it's kind of like, well, you know, that's, you know, sadly that's kind of a Chicago fan tradition if they don't get you know, don't get rolling right away that, you know, everybody's gonna give up on them. So, but sadly, you know, my biggest fear for them came through over the weekend. I mean, I spent all off season bitching that they didn't need to sign Harper or Machado and they needed to do the bullpen. And, you know, I apparently didn't know what the hell I was talking about, but I think they might've wanted to listen to me now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and don't forget that Yu Darvish had too much pressure or whatever his pitching coach's name is. He came up with some really good excuse. So that was interesting, but I mean, lack of focus. That was this big thing. I mean, I think the biggest highlight for Cubs bullpen was the fact that one of the pitchers in the outfield caught a Schwarber home run with his hat just sitting there.
So, yeah, just, you know, not a good start, you know, for quite a few teams, actually. But, I was happy to see your guy, Xander Bogaerts, and my pick for American League MVP this year, pick up a big-time extension. I'm not quite sure what the numbers officially ended up being, but, you know, he's going to be a Red Sox for a long time. Yeah, and, you know, they're really locking their guys down. You know, they're getting their guys, and they're getting them under contract. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's 6 years, $120 million, with, including the $12 million that he makes this year. So it's $132. And there's a vesting option for 2026. So, after re-signing, or I guess you could say signing Chris Sale for 5 years at $145 million, Mookie Betts is on his way to free agency after next season, which I think they'll be able to sign him again. You know, this team is really locking in the guys that are doing it.
Yeah, well, you know, I like the way they're going around and tying these guys up because, you know, Betts has got to look at this and say, why would I want to leave?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he'll get something done before he goes into the free agent market. I don't know who his agent is. You know, if he's a Boris guy, there's always a better chance that he'll go into free agency because that's what Boris likes to do with his guys. It's the way he operates. Very few of them. I know I was surprised Steven Strasburg signed his extension with the Nationals before reaching free agency. I thought for sure Boris would take him out on the market, but if you work things out correctly, you can get stuff done with him. But, I think you'd rather get it wrapped up now. And, I still wonder if, players are a little concerned with, the free agent market. That and the fact that, the CBA is coming up here as well. So. I don't know. Do you buy the fact that maybe they weren't thrilled with the way the market went this year? So there are a lot of these guys that are, and it's not like they're getting bad deals, but it's just kind of getting them all signed now.
Yeah, well, I think it's smart. Plus, it was hard to say because with Harper and Machado, everyone was pretty much waiting on their signing to figure out what their next move is. So when you have, what would you say, essentially 28 teams, 29 maybe, we're going to X out the Orioles for either side, either camp. But, I think when you had all those teams waiting for them to sign, I think it kind of killed the market for all position players. But then you had a team like the Cubs who, neither of you or I believe that they needed to sign either one of those guys. And yet they were just kind of sitting with their thumbs, twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, it was so weird to me the way it played out where nobody was really interested in, it seems like, making a move until, something somewhere kind of happened, and it was like, hey, let's get this going here. You've got other schools. You know, there's a lot of teams who I didn't realize they weren't in the market for these two guys, but they still kind of hung around and sat around thinking, I don't know, maybe they thought it was going to fall their way. I don't know, but I guess we'll see. But what happens? But yeah, a lot of guys, getting signed now and won't have to deal with it. Well, that'll probably make the off season better, won't it?
Yeah, because then you'll kind of know who's eliminated, so to speak, from the market. But every team is still going to need somebody, and I don't think.
Yeah.
Now that Mike Trout signed his extension, I mean, let's be honest, is there a guy coming up besides Mookie Betts in the next couple of years that's really going to make that big name splash that everyone's going to be running for? I mean, because we've seen it in the past where, guys who may not have been the top of the list really jump up and are sought after because there's really no one better. I mean, think of Jake Arrieta and his campaign. I mean, second year into his season, and he's already not the ace. Aaron Nolan opened up the season.
So, yeah, well, there's a chance Starlin Castro will be a free agent. He does have a club option for next year. Do you consider him he's a big name, right?
Well, to you and I, but.
Yeah,
he's not hitting 35 home runs. So.
Yeah, just kind of looking, I mean, J.D. Martinez can opt out, so obviously he would be a big name back out there. Other than that, I mean, Hayward, I don't know if Jason Hayward's still a big name anymore, but, Yasiel Puig does hit the free agent market, and, he's another guy I know you and I really like. I don't know if he's a... really a big name, but of course there's also Madison Bumgarner. He may be the biggest name. Well, Garrett Cole. Those couple pitchers there that could be really interesting. I'm going over the list here. I don't really see too many other guys. Strasburg can actually opt out if that would be something he would be interested in. Reliever wise, I don't think there's a big name reliever again. Well, Kenley Jansen could opt out. But, yeah, like a lot of these opt-outs, the contracts are so big, I don't think guys are going anywhere. It looks like, Bumgarner and Cole are probably going to be the two really big names if they make the free agency. I don't know. Was that anything that thrilled you there?
Yes and no, but I mean, it all depends on, who's out there looking.
Yeah. So, and obviously, I mean, pitchers, there's always a market, there's a chance Rizzo could go, but he's got an option for next year, and, there's no way the Cubs aren't picking that up. So, that's the tough part with it being so early. I mean, do the Brewers send Grandal back on the free agent market because he's got an option for next year? stuff like that. It's like, how does that kind of work out? So, those are, some of some of the names who could be, if they get that far, could be free agents. Then 2 years down the road, Yadier actually would hit the free agent market. Of course, he'll be a 38-year-old catcher, so I don't know how much interest there would be in him. He would actually be out there. So Justin Turner, who would actually be 36. Your guy Jonas Cespedes would be back out there at 35. I don't know how much interest he'd get after – all of his injuries. And of course, we mentioned Mookie Betts. Jake Arrieta goes back out there. He'll be a 35-year-old pitcher at that point in time. John Lester, unless he hits his vesting option, he would make it. Who else is here? And this, of course, like I said, this is 2 years down the road. Wade Davis, they could get Wade Davis back, see if he could still close some games at 35. Mark Melant, then I'm sure the Giants will be glad to get rid of that contract with the way that that just didn't work out for them. But, yeah, those are some of the bigger names 2 years down the road. But, yeah, not anything gigantic yet, just to start. I mean, you have to see if anything else comes up or if there's a trade or, you know, something like that that makes somebody a little more appealing. But, you know, that's still quite a bit away. And then, I keep reading this, and I just never know what to make out of these things, because I think every day for the past 3 or 4 days, I've seen an article about how teams are still in on Craig Kimbrell. And even that one, this is the title of the article, multiple teams still in on Kimbrell, but yet he hasn't been signed. So how many teams are really in on him, Dan?
28 of them.
Yeah. You know, because, like, I'm looking here, and, you know, the Brewers were linked to him really seriously last week. You know, the Mets and the Rays have been involved, the Braves, the Nationals, and the Phillies, you know, all the, you know, names like that have been popping up. It says here apparently the front runners are the Brewers and the Braves. I don't know if I really believe any of it, depending on what his terms are. Because remember, he was the one shooting his mouth off, saying he wasn't going to come down on his terms, and he would sit out the entire year if he had to. So I don't know, you know, how it would work or however that, you know, that would go, but you know, we'll have to kind of see. But yeah, there's been a lot of talk now that him and Dallas Keuchel will stay out till June. So, that, you know, that way they would lose the draft pick compensation, even though the compensation isn't much anymore, right? It's what is it, a second rounder?
Yeah, it kind of depends on your positioning, but it's not in the first round anymore. It's after, I think it's after the supplemental picks in the first round.
Yeah, so I mean, you don't think that's actually holding a team up from signing Kimbrell, do you? I mean, nobody's worried about giving up a pick anymore, are they?
No.
So I'm guessing that's just more his excuse for why he's not signed, when obviously it was his own stupidity. You know, saying he needed 5 years and $60 million or whatever he was asking for. But, you know, you never want to admit that it's your fault. So, but, yeah, we'll see if somebody finally jumps and, you know, gets him there and see what happened with him. But now, you know, this is the question, and I don't know, maybe you have an answer for it. I never really could figure it out. Being that he's a reliever, how long does it take him to get relief?
I don't think it should take as long, but, I mean, it took Jerry Arrieta like a good month.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously we're going to hear the BS about how he's been – you know, working out, and he's been doing whatever he would have been doing in spring training and, you know, all that other crap. But we've seen it now that it doesn't really quite work out that way, you know, when these guys say stuff. I mean, you know, Arrieta ran out of gas last year, and, you know, Alex Cobb, just, let's face it, he was an embarrassed baseball. So, no, I don't know if, you know, I mean, does he, I know they can't really, like, send him down, go to instructional league or something to get work in, or what do they have to do with him?
I don't know, you would know better than I would. I would assume he's already.
No, Yeah, I've been trying to figure it out because I'm just like, okay, you know, where or how do you, you know, how do you work this out to where it's like, okay, well, you know, he's got to be put on the 40-man roster. So you throw him on the 40-man roster, but then, you know, if he's not ready, what the hell do you do with him? And I just really can't see him walking in and being ready. You know what I mean? They can't disable him or put him on the injured list. So I'm not quite sure what to do with him.
Well, no one signed him. So.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out what they do if they do. So.
I mean, you just throw him in camp.
Yeah.
Wherever. I mean, you can't really do instructionally. What is that? You know, well, I guess he would. He either goes back to Arizona if he's one of those guys or down to Florida.
Yeah, I just kind of thought that's might be what you do with him, but yeah, I don't really know. I'm like, well, okay, here you go. Let's figure out what to do with this guy, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I was just kind of like, yeah, but, you know, does it take him? You know, does he only need a week of hard work? I mean, he is a believer. So it's not like, you know, he's got to get ready to go five innings or whatever. So,
well, no,
maybe
I mean,
it may not take
him. Hey, are we talking about Keuchel or Kimbrel?
Kimbrel. Keuchel would be a nightmare for a team to sign right now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, no, Kimbrel, I mean, it's not like he's going to go five innings any night he pitches anyway.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you see somebody sign him before June? You think somebody, or do we need another?
I think so. I just don't think
another
slot him. I just don't think you slot him immediately for a closer role.
Yeah.
He's kind of,
you
like,
know, and obviously you can
do
more than one. You know, he definitely could give you multiple innings.
No.
But that's what I just kind of, you know, that, you know, every time I start reading that kind of stuff, that's what I kind of start to wonder. It's just like, okay, well, how long before, you know, okay, well, great, we signed him, but now what the hell do we do with him? So, you know, it's like we've got to get him ready, and then it's like, yeah, okay, now, you know, next, how long, what, you know, and then, of course, you know, the other stuff is, will he actually be effective, which is something we won't know until, you know, it's like, well, we'll have to see how this goes. And, yeah, I don't know.
But
it's just...
Finding anybody, you don't know if they're going to be effective until they're on the mound. So that one doesn't, you can kind of X that one out. But I mean,
yeah,
I think
you know,
it's easier with a reliever.
I mean, you know, we've seen the other guys through spring training. You know, this guy, you're going to see,
yeah.
You're going to sign him, and then you're going to have to figure it out because you're not going to know, you know, because, you know, he's not pitching against anybody. You know, is he down at the local high school facing the high school kids? Or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, but you knew who he was before he got into the game this season. So, you know, what he can do, you just know you don't want to pay 5 years for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I'm, you know, maybe I'm more cynical than you are.
I think a lot more. I mean, because with relief pitching, you can... He doesn't really need much time to go to camp. I mean, you're talking one inning, maybe three batters if needed, and then, you know, he can travel with the team and just be in the bullpen throwing all day.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. It was just a little I don't know. You know, like I said, like I must have been just more pessimistic than anything else. So
yeah, I'm with Keuchel.
We'll see.
I mean, the more time he's off, I think the healthier he becomes.
Yeah, you know, I just wonder, the more a starter looks like this, I mean, as bad as those guys were last, and Keuchel's out longer than any of those guys were, what's he going to, you know, what's he going to be? You know, I mean, he was a good pitcher last year. He wasn't great, but he was good. But, you know, so was Arrieta with the Cubs. He was good. He wasn't great.
Yeah.
You know, signing so late really killed him, and at least he got a little bit of spring training. I mean, all Keuchel's got are his personal workouts.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the longer he's out, the healthier he will be, though.
Yeah, but I don't think he was hurt, was he? I mean, there were no injury concerns.
No, but he came back from that injury, and even though he's recovered and he came back, you're still not 100%. I mean, you would definitely know that.
You know. So, well, I've been off for how long, and I'm still not 100%. How many years has it been? So, you know, but, yeah, I don't know. You know, the Arrieta's and the Cobb's and stuff. You know, the stuff when they're, you know, they're not late like this. I mean, maybe he's the exception to the rule. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're talking about two guys, so I think you're overthinking it a little bit.
Never.
Yeah. You know, because I mean that's one of those things. If you're the guy in the front office and these are all the questions you have, then I think it's evident that we're gonna move on and not even really take a look at those guys.
Well, if I was in the front office,
you know,
I'd have all these stuff. He hires
me. Yeah, but you know what I mean, hypothetically speaking. Were you in the front office, and these were the questions you had at this point, and the team around, you know, whoever you're reporting to is obviously the man who's got to make the decision to buy or, you know, move on. And, I mean, if these are all the questions you're having, then I don't think the trust is there and that you believe in them as much.
No, I probably won't. Maybe that's just me. So, you know, it's a
lot
of money.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, it's not a bad thing, but I mean, you know, you got to judge and say, is it worth it? And I mean, let's be honest, we both like Kimbrough, but when we heard his demands, we both said, no, it's not worth it.
No, and you know, I was the same thing on Keuchel. You know, I mean, once his demands came out, I was like, yeah, and I mean, I really liked him, but yeah, that was like, no, that, thank you, next. So, you know, there's just no way I could do that. But, you know, obviously I wasn't the only one because he's still sitting out there. But, yeah, I just, I don't, you know, I guess somebody convinced him he was worth that money and, you know, unfortunately, no team thought he was. So.
No, and when you look at closing pitchers, I mean, the only one who was pretty much worth it was Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Which
to
I haven't gotten to save on
else,
yet.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think who else assigned or however it went, but. We got out of it, but
well, I mean, even think Greg Holland, you know, the guy that was with the Cubs that one year, and then he went to Colorado and just pitched. Wade Davis. I mean, no one's truly panned out as the closing, you know. Big signing.
Yeah, I keep trying to remember. who it is or who it was, but
you know, I mean, think of the Cubs signing, what's his name, Morrow, didn't really do anything for them at all.
Well, it did, you know, when he was healthy, you know, he was at least, you know, he was at least a viable option. But, you know, the problem just was he couldn't be healthy and, you know.
Well, I mean,
really,
that wasn't even the problem. I mean, 3-year contract, and you and I both were wondering how much of that is actually going to be fulfilled on the field. You know, if he gets 50 saves over 3 years, is it worth it? I mean, you could have just gone after Joaquin Soria or somebody like that.
Yeah, you know, if he makes that.
You know, I mean, why not just go see if Kevin Gregg still is healthy enough to throw some balls in the pen?
You know, if you look, you might be able to find him. So, you know. There's always that possibility. But, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of... I don't know. Like, you know, like I was saying, maybe it just bothers me more. Who knows? I just kind of, I guess I give up on it. I don't know, you know, what is what here anymore. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, but the season started and we should be talking about who's doing well. Especially your team, the team that you didn't want to watch because you thought you were going to jinx them.
Hey, they did lose that night. No.
Yeah. That's because you said the word and then jinxed them.
Yeah. I know I did. That was terrible. Just terrible of me. So.
It will be interesting. Well, you know, you didn't do any worse than I did because I was wearing my W hat on Saturday. And... I was going to say flip it upside down, but you just get an M for Mariners, right? There you go.
There you go.
And, I mean, you know, it's the first game, so I'm trying not to be super pessimistic, just trying to watch and see how things develop. But if you continue to pitch this way, you know, we're really going to see the worth of that contract at the end of this season, I think. So hopefully it improves. But, you know, one of the things that, like we discussed, and I tweeted you Saturday night, was the fact that you were right, that they really needed to go after and focus on the bullpen. You know, and there was, I think it's one of the morning show guys, the guy who works for the Trib. I think he's the one who said it. If you don't have any interest in Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, you shouldn't even be in the front office or in this business. So, I mean, thankfully for the Cubs that this guy is not in the front office, because he probably would have tried to blow the load on Bryce Harper. And while Bryce Harper's 3 home runs or 2 home runs this weekend would have been supplemental to, you know, Javi's 3 or 4, they still would have lost because they, you know, that was one of the things that Uncle Bob, oh, I'm so disappointed. Well, you should be disappointed, but not because they didn't sign Harper, because they didn't sign any bullpen help. But he only knows about, you know, hitting, so he forgets that there's a pitching part of the game that goes on. And, I mean, I think the confidence that the Ricketts placed on the offense was there. I mean, we've seen it. What was it, like 30-plus runs in 3-game series?
Yeah.
Blown by the bullpen. And the fact that your starting pitching can't go past 5 innings.
Yeah, you know, and that was my fear is, you know, they were going to turn, leads over to the bullpen, which they did, and there aren't, you know, there aren't guys who can hold it. You know, and I mean, last year, Pedro Strop was a fantastic closer. You know, he did a great job filling in. But when you go back through his career, he's never really had success closing games. So if you would have bet on things, I would have bet last year was more of an anomaly than the way things were going to go. But the Cubs bought the fact that he was the guy and he'll be the perfect fill-in until, you know, until Brandon Morrow returns. But, you know, even when Morrow returns, you got to wonder how long before he just turns around and gets hurt again. You know, I mean,
yeah,
all you got
to
do is
the All-Star break.
Right. I mean, look at his career, you know, before you start kind of worrying, you know, kind of wondering about these things. And, you know, there were affordable pitchers out there that they could have went and got in free agency to help fill the void. They settled on Brad Brock after they, you know, waited on everybody else. But, you know, and sadly, and, you know, again, like you, I'm trying not to freak out too much. I mean, it's three games. Mm-hmm. You know, they played three games, but they had two losses. The bullpen's blue lead in both of them. So, you know, that's the big thing with it. But, you know, just looking back, it's like there were guys there to go get. And they just didn't do it. And I know they didn't want to spend a bunch of money because, you know, they've got to figure out ways to sign all their guys that are going to be coming up here. You know, I mean, you're going to have to try to figure out how to keep Bryant and Baez and Rizzo, and, you know, you're probably going to want to bring John Lester back on a short-term deal because he's been really good for you. You know, luckily they inked Hendricks, so that one's out of the way. You know, you got Contreras. You're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with guys like Schwarber and Hop. So, you know, you're going to need money. So I can understand why, you know, that's why bringing a Kimbrel in didn't make any sense. You know, they didn't have to go out and get a big front line closer. They just needed a guy who could fill in, and for whatever reason, they didn't go get him.
No, and, you know, the other part of it is Mike Montgomery has proven that he's not that stable of a guy in the bullpen. And then you signed Chatwood, who I think is a bullpen guy now, right? Supposed to be the starter.
Yeah.
So is that a tie-up with some money?
Yeah. You know, and they're stuck with that because nobody's going to want that.
No.
So, you know, he's got this year plus two more left on that contract.
Oh, geez, I thought it was only three.
Yeah, no, I think he got four. I think he got four at 60, if I remember correctly, or something close to that. You know, now he's, you know, respectively, he's what they would call the long man. You know, he'll be the last guy out of the bullpen or desperate situation type of guy. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just disappointing. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, they're not the only team. I heard some Yankee fans earlier, and they're not happy. And, you know, the Braves were a real trendy pick, and they're not happy that they got swept by a team in the division. So, you know, but again, like I said, it's three. They're three games in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's need to panic unless this becomes a trend. Then, you know, then you've got problems.
Well, I mean, fortunately, you're not a White Sox fan because I know they're all dying over the learning curve that Moncada needs to make at third base.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had some problem on Friday with Cub fans because Eloy Jimenez struck out in his first two at-bats, and all anybody wanted to talk to me about was how bad he looked. And I'm like, well, he's 22 and he's played one major league game. Did you expect him to go 4-for-4 with four bombs?
Yes. 10 for 10. He's supposed to come up 10 times.
But, yeah, it was just like, oh, did you see how bad he looked striking out? Well, most guys look bad when they strike out. But, yeah, he chased a couple sliders that were down and away. I mean, you've never seen a Javi Baez at bat before. But, yeah, it was just the gloating was kind of odd for me after one game. And, I mean, I'm not even a White Sox fan. You know, I'm just a sports fan, a baseball fan. And, yeah, it was just kind of like, guys, it's one game. I don't think you should start – you don't run to the bus pile just yet. He's only played once, and unlike Ian Happ, he made the team. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was killing me on Saturday, I believe it was, the lack of communication between Eloy and Anderson and the dropped pop-up. I tried looking for it, but – I was having issues with MLB not putting up all the highlights yet, so that's been fun this weekend. But, you know, I'm like, again, I was with you. I'm like, it's his first game. You know, if anything, Anderson should have been on it a little bit more with the control, or whoever is playing center field could have been, you know, backing up Eloy to kind of direct that veteran knowledge. But, I mean, like you said, it's the first weekend. I don't know. I try not to freak out about anything. You just kind of sit back and observe. There's 162 games, 158 to go. You know, the only one in a great position is, I mean, obviously Seattle's warm-up in Japan really helped them out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that you know, picking up a couple games early there really kind of got them going. But, yeah, that's the thing. And, I mean, you know, I mean – the White Sox were expected to lose games. You know, I mean, I think they're losing now. Yeah, it's 5-3 in the top of the ninth, so it looks like they're going to drop, another one here. I mean, obviously you'd like to see them beat a team like Kansas City, but, again, you know, it was the first series you opened on the road. The weather was crappy. You know, even today, the weather in Cleveland is, you know, it's not great baseball weather. It's in the low 40s, and at least it's a day game. You know, they got that going for them. But, yeah, you know, you kind of deal with these things early in the season. I mean, especially when you're playing, you know, in the Midwest or in the East, you know, you're going to run into some of these games where I think the other day it was – I'm trying to remember who played, but it was like 37. I think it was Minnesota and Cleveland yesterday. I think the temperature at the game – start of the game was 35 degrees. So that's wonderful.
Well, I mean, even down in Texas, they were all wearing hoodies and jackets.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's just, you know, the season started early, you know, because we got to get, you know, with the players union wanting all these days off and stuff, if you're going to play 162 games, you need to start early. So, you know, and they don't want you playing doubleheaders anymore. So, you know, you got to get out there at the end of March to get these games in, and that's, you know, you're going to run into these things where the weather's going to suck and nobody's going to want to play, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, but I did draft Giolito, and he had a no-hitter going into the seventh.
What?
He broke up. What?
I said he looked good yesterday for you.
Oh, yeah.
I said he looked good.
You know, sadly, though, he was probably of all my star pitching the only one to get a win. You know, we're talking about Sale, Baumgartner, Branky. I got a couple others. I can't remember, you know, off the top of my head. But of all the guys, I think, yeah, that's the only win I have. So hopefully I get some more this week. But, you know, that was one of the positives. Giolito looked good. He's doing what he's done in the past to strike guys out, but – it was nice to see him go into the seventh inning. But, you know, what was interesting to me, though, watching some highlights from the White Sox, though, was more so the development with the Royals. You know, Soler seems to be a lot more confident than he was even in his World Series championship with the Cubs. You know, with Merrifield and – yeah, exactly. Those guys seem to be picking it up. So, I mean, it is kind of – interesting to watch how they're not going to be maybe the worst team of the worst this year. You know, they're still going to be battling down there, but I think they're definitely improving. But, you know, one of the things I really felt like the Mariners were, you know, I think we both decided in the offseason it was confusing. Are they blowing it up and rebuilding, or what the hell are they doing? And, I mean, it was, you know, one thing to see Jay Bruce hit a couple bombs, which you expect out of him, but it was a little bit more interesting to see him do it in Seattle. I forget the name of the field now. But then to see Ryan Healy kind of pick it up too. What is it now?
Is it still Safeco, or did they change it?
No, they changed it. That's why I can't think of what they're calling it now. I know it's not King's Dome. The key.
It should be. So they didn't name it after Ichiro or anything like that? So.
No.
Oh, God. Okay, here you go. It's T-Mobile Park.
Oh, okay.
So.
Hey, you gotta make that money to pay for some of the guys on that roster.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, probably not as bad as guaranteed rate, but still not not anything fantastic. But yeah, well, you know, I was so off with the Mariners. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, maybe I'm not off. You know, when we made our predictions, I had them in last in the West. I really just didn't think they were going to do anything. You know, and out of the gate, I mean, they picked up 5 of 6. You know, and obviously that won't continue. They won't win 5 of every 6 games. But you know, there does always seem to be kind of that one team that pops up. You know, like Oakland was kind of it last year. Nobody really had Oakland doing anything or going to the playoffs. So, you know, who knows? Maybe this will be Seattle's year, and they'll contend when nobody thinks they can contend.
You know, it was good to see them kind of playing it out and doing well, but I think the harder part was watching the Red Sox just get dominated. You know, Mariners or anybody. I thought this team and the Astros would come out opening weekend and, you know, at least take their series. So it was kind of, you know, messing with your mind a little bit. Can't figure it out.
You know, I didn't realize it until somebody said it on the broadcast I was watching yesterday, but the Astros actually only beat the Rays one time last year. So there's something about Tampa that they have Houston's number. So I don't know what the deal is there, but it's just kind of weird like that. But I, you know, we jokingly were talking about those pitchers, you know, who were available on the free agent market, and Sergio Romo was one of them, and he picked up a save yesterday. So even at 30, whatever, it's got to be 37 or 38. He got a save against the Astros. So
I didn't realize he re-signed with Tampa.
Yeah, I think he's still with Tampa. Or was he? Is he with Miami? Whoever he signed with, he picked up a save for yesterday. I think he's still
in
Florida. It might have been Miami. So, but yeah, I was just kind of like, hey, you know, this guy's still getting out. So.
Yeah, with the Giants situation, you wonder why they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, and I double-checked. It is Miami. So, obviously, it was Tampa last year. I just kind of, you know, I was in Florida. I was close. I was in Florida, at least. So, but, yeah, you know, just you look at it, and it's like, you know, and obviously the guy, he threw kind of hard when he first came up, and you always got guys out with his slider, and oddly, he's still getting guys out with his slider. So, you know, I mean, you know, 37 years old, he's been around for good, probably, 10, 11 seasons now, you know, still getting guys out.
Mm-hmm. And I think we all thought Brian Wilson was going to be the big star to come out of those World Series teams.
Yeah. Well, you know, he may have been had he been able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the catch there, but I did see the White Sox game went final. They ended up losing 5-3 to Cleveland. We had another final earlier. The Cardinals beat the Pirates 6-5 in extra innings. They went 11 innings. Pittsburgh had these. I think it seemed like Pittsburgh gave away the lead about 18 times in that game. you know, for whatever it was, every time, you know, like they held it early. They got up like a 4-0 lead and held on to it. It was like, oh, okay, it looks like Pittsburgh's going to, you know, get a nice win here at home. And Chris Archer looked pretty good. He didn't go very deep into the game. But, yeah, you know, the seventh inning hit, and all of a sudden the Cardinals decided they were going to play. But humorously, they ran out of players. Matt Carpenter got ejected, so Yadier had to play third base in the bottom of the 11th.
Ooh. Well, whoever has him hopes that happens 9 more times.
Yeah. but Archer only lasted 5 innings. He threw 99 pitches in 5 innings. 2 hits, didn't give up any runs, walked 3, and struck out 8. So much improved. Much improved over what he was last year as a Pirate. You just got to wonder if maybe he can stretch it out and give him a couple more innings. But yeah, the bullpen scuffled. Even their closer gave up. He had a chance to come and get a save, Vasquez, and he gave up a run. To tie the game back up. So.
Yeah, well, I tuned in after Archer was taken out, I think in the 6th or 7th inning, and I thought the first game on the map was the White Sox at 3, and when I turned in, it was like the 7th or 8th, and I'm like, well, let me put on the Pirates, I'll listen to them because this game's about over, and then it wasn't.
But yeah, your guy Dexter Fowler did steal a base, so.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, that was nice. He also got thrown out stealing a base, but at least he got on to steal the base.
Yeah. Before we run out of time, I wanted to get into the daily stuff, and we've talked about some of the regular fantasy, or I did, because you're currently not playing until your team starts winning.
No, I have an ESPN team. That draft worked just fine for me yesterday.
Yeah, not the same. but you invited me to one this weekend, but it turned out to be golf, so I doubt I won anything. But earlier today, I always forget on the weekend to catch up and check in the FanDuel. It's the beginning. I figure we still have 150 games to go, so I haven't been throwing away the money that I have in there. That I've won over the last couple of years, but been doing the free ones. And of course, our favorite free one is back, Big Jack, and that's the Home Run Derby. I don't know if you got into it. I didn't have time to invite you as I forgot.
Oh, Dan, you either muted yourself or you cut yourself off, but it says you're still here. So
I muted myself. I went with a really dumb strategy tonight. I wanted to get your opinion on it. I'm going with an all-Christian lineup. And no, that's not the religion. So it started with the kid out of Arizona, Christian. Forgot his last name already. Is it Wade, I believe?
Walker?
Walker, there we go. Okay, we take him back. I went with Walker, and then I was like, well, let me take a gamble on Christian Yelich again. And then I figured, well, since I have 2 Christians, how do I complete this lineup? So I just, for the hell of it, rolled the dice, and hopefully Christian Vasquez plays tonight. So that's my stupid lineup for tonight. Did you happen to do one?
Well, I'm actually doing it as we speak. So.
Oh my God!
I'm going with Yasiel Puig. I'm going to go with Cody Bellinger because he's been a monster, and then I think I'm going to go with Travis Shaw as my third guy. So we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, I've stunk. My first couple daily fantasy lineups have been terrible. So I'm hoping maybe I'll have better luck with home run derby this year. Of course, remember, you know, if you remember last year, I went how long with just not hitting any.
Yeah, I mean, you know, tonight was just one of those, I'm being stupid and figured, what the hey. I got two Christians, I might as well go for the third.
I did do a daily, so I am rolling along on that. I think, did it go live already? If I am live already with my daily lineup here. Yeah, I can tell you who I went with, and as my internet catches up with me. Yeah, I have Julio Urias as my pitcher. Rizzo at first, Kiki at second. Your guy Kiki's in my lineup. Look at that. Alex Bregman at third, Carlos Correa at short. My outfield is David Dahl, Randall Grichuk, and Malik Smith. And my utility guy was Kevin Pillar, but he got pulled out of the lineup, so it looks like I'm going to take a zero there because that game's already started. So that's going to hurt. He was in the lineup when I put it together. I wonder if he got hurt or scratched or something. So.
Oh. Yeah, I did a 25 cent, one of those, you know, one team only. Now I can't get to it. Oh, here we go. But they took Jack Peterson out, so.
Ooh. Yeah, I did manage the first lineup I did. I did a lineup, ooh, what was that? Thursday went Friday, and oh, I was terrible. I got over 100 points on Saturday. The lineup I did on the air yesterday wasn't very good. It only scored 97.3, and I actually thought I had a pretty good lineup, but it just it didn't work out. So hopefully tonight will be a little better. I'll have to overcome that zero, but. You know, I can definitely do that. I have, you know, if I can get a good outing out of Urias, I'm just a little worried I'm not going to get enough innings out of him to make him worthwhile. But that,
yeah,
you know, that's the hardest.
Not been able to make a pitch.
The hardest
inning,
but
yeah, well, you know, a guy gets one guy on, two outs, and they're like, oh, we can't do it anymore.
So, you know, yeah, that's just. You know, you're like, God, can I get five innings so we can get a win at least? You know, give me that. But, yeah, there's no guarantee you can even get that out of guys anymore.
No, even, you know, I think the closest one you could almost expect it from and only is Justin Verlander.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, ugh. You know, like yesterday I had Patrick Corbin, and it looked good early. And then they couldn't hold on to the lead. So he pitched enough to get me the win if they just didn't win the game. So, you know, but like, you know, like we weren't, you can tell it's early in the season because neither Mr. Fantasy and I were really interested in Giolito yesterday. I was a little like, I don't know, maybe, you know, we decided to stay away from him and he may have been the best choice to have.
Well, and it's so hard in the beginning of the season because, you know, the guys just aren't at the level you expect them to be. And, you know, it's like, you know, everyone hit, you know, four or five home runs this weekend. But, you know, is that drought going to come where no one hits anything for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, you know, if you had Dodgers in your lineup over the weekend, you probably would pick two. Hello, all right.
Of course, I'm radio.